You are at the intersection of wealth, health, and happiness. Welcome to the Wealthy, Wealthy Life. Hi, I'm Christina Wise, and welcome to A Wealthy, Wealthy Life, where I interview thought leaders who teach a countercultural approach to money, health, and happiness. Because, truth be told, great riches don't matter if you're sick, and optimal health doesn't matter if you're broke. Today, I tackle health wealth with Klaus Poomer. Klaus is a sleep expert. How did he become a sleep expert and sleep coach? Originally from Germany, he started his career as a craftsman specializing in furniture making. As a successful bed designer and organic manufacturer, he started to realize how many people have sleep issues, and he started to notice how organic materials could make a difference in the quality of his customers' sleep. That led him to research sleep and to look into sleep psychology, which eventually led him to become a certified sleep coach. He explores the quality of sleep through deep analysis of several environmental factors, including electric frequencies, temperature, light, toxins, and a lot more. So if you have any sleep issues, you certainly want to listen to this conversation. We talk about the importance of sleep and the epidemic of poor sleep in today's culture, the processes that occur during sleep that are critically important to our health. We talk about the toxicity in our sleep environments. We talk about EMF and how it negatively affects our sleep, and we have EMF everywhere in our bedrooms. And finally, we talk about the Samina sleep system, which I use in my own home as a part of overall sleep hygiene and overall health. We cover a lot in this conversation. I hope you enjoy. Klaus, it is so fun to be here with you today. Thank you for being on the Wealthy, Wealthy Live podcast.
No, thank you for having me this morning. It's a beautiful Monday morning in Pasadena, California. Thank you.
And I'm here in Austin, Texas. And funny enough, I guess, we met almost a year ago at the Bulletproof Conference in Pasadena.
Yes, it was last September, my first time I've been part of it, and a very successful event, and I'm looking forward for the next one coming in a couple of months.
Yes, so I will see you there. And I just saw you last week at the Paleo Conference, Paleo FX here in Austin. I'm really, really excited to talk to you today because I think our conversation might really puncture or blow up some new thinking for a lot of different people. And it's around the conversation about sleep. And you really opened my eyes and gave me an awareness of something I'd never heard of before or never thought of, is that clearly we're all aware of the importance of sleep today, that we need to get enough sleep. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that today. But just, I'm not sure you know this about me, but when I was sick, what made me like feel like I was going crazy, like really going crazy, and I'm not saying partially crazy, like I thought I'd gone over to the side of crazy. And the worst thing about my illness that had a lot of dark moments, physically, emotionally, mentally, all of that, but the worst part was I couldn't sleep. And I would go days without sleeping. Sometimes, I mean, just maybe 30 minutes, I'd have trouble falling asleep. I would wake up. I couldn't go back to sleep. And I mean, I couldn't function. And I felt, like I said, that I was really going crazy. And what I wanted more than anything, I wanted my health back. I wanted all these things. But more than anything, I just wanted a full night's sleep. So I never really appreciated sleep. I think before that, when I couldn't sleep at all and the ramifications of that and how horrific it was. And so then more than anything, it's like, I just wanted sleep. It was almost a prayer, like, just give me, dear God, please just give me a full night's sleep. So it was at that point in my recovery and everything that I went through to regain my own health. Sleep, of course, it's like it had a whole new importance for me because I saw the true negative effects of real lack of sleep. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we come full circle a couple of years, and I've been focused on sleep, knowing the importance, some sleep hygiene that we'll talk about a little bit. But one thing that I never even thought about until meeting you last year in Pasadena was beds. So we'll wind up probably at the end of our interview talking about the importance of beds and sleep, because like I said, you opened up a whole new reality for me when it comes to sleep that I'd never even thought about, even though I've been pretty diligent about learning about sleep. So let's talk sleep.
Yep.
I think now we all know that diet, exercise, and sleep are critical for good health, but I'm not sure people really know why sleep is important, because it's just the new science. It's really starting to unravel, like, what happens during sleep that is so important and why it's so necessary, and why living these lifestyles where we get 4, 5, 6 hours of sleep maybe, or get woken up in the middle of the night, really is impacting our health. So do you have any sort of reports or any sort of research that talks about how well we sleep or how poor we sleep as a nation?
Yeah, actually pretty in North America, or including the whole continent, Canada, we do know 7 out of 10 people have trouble sleeping. So it's almost 70% of the entire population. And in Europe, the numbers are not much better. The European countries have similar numbers. And the problem, you know, became when we start having an industrial life. You know, in a moment, the light bulb was developed and machinery. All of a sudden, you know, people start working in factories, and we actually been able to extend daytime much longer with a light bulb. So instead of going home and it's getting dark, you're now staying at work while you can turn the light bulb on and you have electricity to keep you nice and comfort, and you will work 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours longer. So I think the revolution in regards and the different big change from sleep is our ancestor had a different lifestyle. Of course, they had more a natural lifestyle. They spent way more time outside. They're being connected with nature. They really did not have an alarm watch or a Fitbit or any kind of devices to monitor their rhythm and their lifestyle. And the only monitor they had was the sunrise and the sunset. And this is our natural life. In the morning hours, when the sun is rising, you naturally get some light exposure and you actually naturally wake up with no need for alarm clocks whatsoever. Sun will make you wake up in the morning. And the same happens when the sun goes down, you become sleepy and you get kind of ready to go to bed, and you know, now it's time to sleep. So we had a proper life cycle, and of course there was a difference between the seasons and exactly where you lived in this world. There's always some fluctuation about, you know, an hour less, an hour more, but this pretty much was really easy controlled, and this did not go away. The sun does the same today what the sun did 200 years ago, so not really a change. And now, you know, in the modern life, you know, with technology and our modern lifestyles, we are working till 11, 12 o'clock midnight, and we work up super early in the morning to run to the gym while we did not have time the night before. While we do know exercise is kind of an important part of our health, and of course, you know, we run to the supermarket, buy organic foods and stuff like this. But then what then about sleep? We take sleep as a passive part of life. And when something is passive, this doesn't sound fun. It's kind of a waste of time, right?
So people. Yeah, and on that note is that we're very clear, like, yes, we need to exercise. Yes, we need to eat right. I've got it. But I'm not sure we're at the place where we understand the importance of sleep. Got to exercise, got to eat well. But we have to sleep. So what are some of the negative, what is research showing us today, like some of the negative consequences or implications of recurrent lack of sleep? How is it affecting us in day-to-day in performance, in emotions, just well-being overall?
Yeah, I mean, our whole entire body system depends on a good night's sleep and recharging and re-energizing our immune cells and our biological cells. So when with the lack of sleep and bad sleep, we compromise the most important part of sleep, the re-energizing part. And this only can happen in a good night's sleeping environment and when you actually have enough sleeping time and sleep quality. So when we do have to sacrifice under sleep, we are actually going to bed tired and we're waking up still exhausted. So we don't have this, you know, 6 to 8 hours time to really recover from our day abuse from the day before. When we are active and we're going to work and we're living our lives, we abuse our body. Everybody does. And this is can be harmful at some point. On the other hand, this is normal. We are active. So the passive part of life, the sleeping part, and for the body, it's this important to relax and re-energize to really make sure I can give my red blood cells, can take enough oxygen to recharge our immune system. We want to make sure we can start sweating and detoxifying to get rid of all the poison in our intake from food and air and cosmetics and stuff. So this is part that happens during nighttime. We want to make sure we are mentally up to date. We start dreaming during sleep. The dreams are the only way to figure out mentally our life, what's happened the day before or years before. We're having dreams about ourselves, other people in our lives, so people who came across our lives. And all this stuff only happens in during sleep. When we're missing those components, we are sacrificing our human body even more. We're missing this whole entire recovering in the nighttime, and we going to the next day and abuse our body again. And then we do this the next day again. And then maybe we have one good night, but then we have another 3-4 nights where we're not sleeping well. And actually, regarding this, is very interesting studies. When you think you can catch up on sleep on the weekend, it's totally false and it's misleading. We cannot. When you work like a dog from Monday to Friday and you have 5 hours sleep or 4 hours, and you really think you can sleep your 6, 8, 10 hours on the weekend to catch up with the missing sleeping hours, it's not working like this.
Well, like you said, is because there's actually something very important that's happening at night when we're sleeping. Our body, it's really moving from more of a catabolic to anabolic state, right? Where we're awake and the body's using, I mean, it's in wake state. It's using the energy. It's expending energy. We're in that state where things are fully operational and our bodies have to recharge. And that's what happens and why sleep's so important, right? It is that recharge. It's you know, we can't, with a car, the car will run out of gas. You have to fill it with gas. You have to refill it. And our bodies, you know, we're the machine part of our bodies, is that's what happens. But I think what we're learning even through dream state is that dreams is very important. We go out of the different, like, what, 3 or 4 cycles, yes, different sleep cycles, and different things happen as we go in and out of these different cycles. And dreaming is a way that our body almost closes what previous experiences and lets go of certain things that it needs to let go of, and to prepare our body and our mind for a new, like the new wake state. Like you said, in the more the anabolic state, our cells are actually repairing, detoxifying, our systems are getting recharged. And our body has to have this time after every day to have enough time and space to dream, because it's very essential, as well as for our body to recuperate. So is there anything to add to that? I mean, is that what the research is showing?
Yeah, for sure. And I would also say, what is kind of important, there's certain kind of nutrition and like, you know, we have hormones. One of them is melatonin. The other one is cortisol and serotonin. Those are certain hormones we only can develop during the nighttime from the beginning. So I would say, you know, when we extending the day to nighttime and shorten our night so much and don't have a proper sleeping environment, we're missing up very important hormones of the human body. And you cannot swallow those in any kind of form the next day while it's then daytime, and even you can buy them now, they're still not the same, and you create them naturally with your own system. So I think very, very important.
Yeah, and like what you were saying earlier is our ancestors, that we didn't have all this artificial light and all these iPhones and electronics and blue light, that our bodies are very rhythmic. So we followed, our bodies very much followed in the rhythm of nature. And now we're not doing that anymore. So with alarm clocks jarring our body maybe out of a sleep state, with light and blue light, we're watching TV up until we try to fall asleep. So it's not allowing our bodies to get either fall asleep easily, because it inhibits some melatonin production, like you said. And we're really jacking with our natural cycles as human beings, correct? So what are some of the things that we're doing that are just killing our sleep quality?
Yeah, I'm very concerned about EMFs and RMFs, electromagnetic fields and radiomagnetic fields. I do purchase equipment a couple of years ago to make this kind of EMS and RMS visible and have proper reading. So I have a number to really have a compare this to charts. And I'm doing this on daily basis, with phone consultation to measure people's sleeping environment. And I think this is the most alarming thing what I right now experience.
So what is before you talk about that, what is EMF?
EMF stands for electromagnetic fields. And those electromagnetic fields are coming from power lines in our homes. We do all have electricity, so we run power lines in our walls, and we do have outlets, and we do have switches. So all these things having an electro and a magnetic field. The worst ones are the radio frequencies, and those are devices like a wireless router, a cell phone, a Bluetooth device, a remote, and everything what kind of sends a signal, your printer, your computer. And again, those items are in our homes. So very often, we don't have a wrong setup of a sleeping area. When I come to people's home and the bedroom is not the truly bedroom, and I find the computer equipment in the bedroom, and I find the stereo equipment in the bedroom, and the TV in the bedroom, then this was a wrong choice from the beginning already. Well, this is the sleeping area where you want to relax and re-energize, but then you put all this stuff in there. While this is, of course, very convenient to lie in bed to watch TV, it's very convenient to put your laptop in bed on your chair, on your lap, and work in bed. While we are lazy. We want to be lazy. We're working all day. So naturally, this would make sense. But physically, we're violating any laws from nature whatsoever without really thinking about it. So what the better decision would be to put all these electronics away from the bedroom area, create a sanctuary where you really walk into it and you know now that I'm done for the day. This is where I'm having now a shower and a steam, and I'm going to bed, talk to my husband. You make love to each other. You read a book and I fall asleep, right? This should be. But unfortunately, reality, different. Almost any of the rooms I'm going to has anything of those devices. And then as we know, when you cannot smell something, you cannot see something, and you cannot hear something, we ignore it. But then I'm coming, I make my measurement, I turn my microphones on, my speaker, and people actually see the readings, and I show them the European guidelines. Those guidelines exist for many, many years. They're not acknowledged by any government, either the German or European government or American government. But when people working in this world of, have a more environment-friendly homes, we do have some guidelines in our exposure to electromagnetic and radio frequencies.
And so what are the EMFs doing, especially to our sleep?
What they actually do on the end of the day, and you can see this on a dark field microscopy, they really glue our red blood cells together. When you have healthy blood cells, the red ones, they're looking like coins and they're floating side by side, and they are able to take a huge amount of oxygen through your skin in the nighttime to recharge your immune system and organs. We call this the nourishment of our cells, including, of course, the food what we eat as fuel as well. So we have a combination. We need real food, organic food, and we need oxygen to keep our body cells alive. We have about 7 billion cells, and every day there will be about 1 billion cells dying, and we're creating other cells, new ones. And always there is this internal fight in our human body to get rid of the bad cells, to create more good cells, and make sure that this count is in balance, right? With the high exposure of this electromagnetic field and radio frequencies, we're blocking the creation of these red blood cells floating side by side. They're glued together like coins. Remember the olden days when you've been a kid, you collected pennies, and then you've been proud, you had 100 pennies together, and you had to roll them in a little paper roll and brought them to the bank. So you are able to get, deposit the money. And then all of a sudden, there's only one left cell and one right cells, and you're missing 98 cells. And this happens in the body with this high exposure of electromagnetic field. And when this happens for one night or two nights, it's not the end of the world. The problem is we're doing this night after night, week after week, month after month, year after year. And we call this human inflammation. When you scan your whole entire body under thermography, what is much better than any kind of exposure to X-ray, you will get a picture of the human body in temperatures, and you can see where human inflammation starts. And this is really the part where you sacrifice your immune system and all kind of organs around this area. And this can lead to a chronic disease, but we really never know this happens to us or we don't. And the only example what I can say for that is when smoking cigarettes. I personally do know people who are 90 years old and they smoke two packs of cigarettes since they're teenager. And they seem healthy. They're still running around and do their stuff. They're coughing once in a while, but you know, they're healthy. And then I do know people who never smoked in life and they got lung cancer or any other disease, and we call it passive smoking. So unfortunately, there is no guarantee, but we do also know in the 60s, smoking was very popular and governments did not make a fuss with us smoking. And you know, when I immigrated to Canada 18 years ago, and in Canada, our healthcare system is paid, so our Canadian government is a little bit more, you know, keen about us to be Canadian, be healthy. So there is a way more stricter education there. And but then 10 years ago, we changed the label of our cigarette packs, right, and put these awful pictures on it. So even the government now acknowledged with smoking, you look at this picture and make a clear decision. Do you really want to look like this and you want to die on a disease like this? And I predict something similar for our use of our electronics.
So how far do the EMFs travel? Is it within a foot? Do we know? Is there...
It's of course, you know, in our bedroom, the electro fields are, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 feet easily. Magnetic fields, 6, 7, 8 feet. The most concerning part, of course, radio frequencies. When you have your cell phone on your night table, the cell phone travels to the next cell phone tower, what can be 2, 3 miles away. And in this whole, the further you are away, that's the weak the signal. But we have to think about one thing. Our cell phone has 4 gigahertz. And 4 gigahertz stands for 4 billion hertz. Our human body runs on 6.7 hertz, the Schumann frequency, the Earth resonance. So say we rounded up 7 hertz to 4 billion hertz. And we are being created 1,000 years ago when we did not had exposure of 4 billion hertz. And do you really believe our human body adapts naturally to this in the last 60, 50 years? Well, this technique is not very old. The cell phones are 30 years old, right? 25 years. I think I remember I got my first cell phone on 1 gigahertz when I was 25 or 28. And this was not even a little tiny cell phone. This was a big heavy box to carry with a battery, big like my suitcase. And there was really a handset, a hand with a cord. So I don't have even exposure on my ear really. And you know, now since the iPhone came out, how old is the iPhone? 7 years, 8 years, something like this. So we have it right on our ear most of the time. So I think, you know, this is the most alarming part. And again, you may be lucky and you are very resistant. And I would say this maybe has something to do with aging as well, right? When we are young kids and teenager, then maybe be more resistant. But I also think this is very alarming. And when you are giving birth to a child this day, the first thing what parents do, they buy them a little iPad and put movies on it, and they go to a restaurant so they can enjoy their meal, and the baby is watching with a Bluetooth device, again, a movie to be busy to, you know, like give the parents some peace to have a meal.
Yeah, so it sounds like your theory is be cautious of EMFs, especially in sleep. So get rid of the cell phone or put it on airplane mode. What else, when we're talking about sleep quality, what else can we do? We're turn off our cell phones, maybe turn off the TV. For sure, don't have our computer in bed with us. And I mean, in keeping it practical too.
So I mean, the first thing is you unclutter your bedroom and you take all this stuff out as quickly as possible. There is no need for this in the bedroom. Mentally and physically totally disturbing. When you walk to this door, what call is the bedroom, and your master bathroom is attached to it, that's the end of the day. Whenever you decide this is, I don't care, you go early to bed or then really late, what is still a subject we might have to talk about it when you extend the day too long, but at least use this room as a truly bedroom, and you physically, mentally know when I walk to this door, that's it. I'm not texting my friends anymore. No one can reach me anymore for emergencies. This is now my time. This is me, 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 me. I have to be selfish, right? So please remove all this stuff, also computers, office equipment, stereo equipment, the TV, everything. And then last not the what you do, of course, your cell phone, turn off your cell phone. To leave your cell phone on downstairs in the kitchen does not help. Again, a cell phone radio transmitter, and actually we have free transmitter on the cell phone. This is the worst part. We have the radio transmitter, the Bluetooth transmitter, and the Wi-Fi transmitter. They all have a frequency. Turn this device off, charge it over the nighttime so you can use it the next time. And then last not least, turn off your router. Why is your router on downstairs? Or even worse, I go in people's home and I find the router under the bedroom, under the bed frame, while there's a big empty space. So this is the totally wrong location to have
it.
Well,
I can't wait. Next time you're in Austin, I want you to do an EMF reading in my bedroom. So we'll do that. And so
last but least, go to the next extent. Go to the panel box and indicate the breaker to the bedroom area and switch off the breaker. Then you really make sure everything is disconnected around you. And then this is like routine. You park your car, you close your house, your front door, you close the window shutters while it's your home now. So add those three tasks to your daily life. And when you wake up in the morning, and turn them on again. And there is some, you can buy equipment to make this easier with a little remote, you know, but you can make it the old fashioned way. You walk to these devices, you walk to your panel box and turn the breaker on, and then you have light. When you need light in the nighttime to walk to the bedroom, to the bathroom, you know, it's light exposure in the nighttime is very important.
So yeah, let's talk about that next is, and so, you know, based on this, since now I've had the experience of how horrific it is, and I've had to really retrain my body to sleep again, and it's been quite a journey. And so because I believe this sleep hygiene and knowing I wanted to just have any type of sleep after suffering from total horrific insomnia. But then what was lingering that was having difficult to fall asleep. And so it's been a real journey for me. So because I've wanted to break that cycle, I have adopted so much of what you're talking about. Cell phones are off, no computers in the bedroom, being concerned about blue light, but all of these things. And being very intentional about sleep, like I am with other things. Before, I just wasn't really in my toolbox of things that I was concerned about. So thank you for really sharing about this. So EMFs is one thing, and we all need to turn off our cell phones at night. I mean, just we've got to do it. And computers, get them out of the bedroom, to your point. But also light. We have so much artificial light that is really affecting our melatonin production, the natural, and that's really what happens at night. This hormone starts increasing and other hormones, wake hormones, start decreasing. But yes, the light's keeping our body from producing the right amount of melatonin, which is keeping us from falling asleep or, you know, takes longer, whatever. And so what do we do? Like having no light in the bedroom is not practical, but what type of light would we want in our bedroom?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the ordinary light bulbs are way better than the high energy efficient one. We call this dirty electricity. So anytime I was living somewhere or renting a home or staying somewhere, I unscrew those light bulbs and I purchase an old-fashioned light bulb. And then you can buy them in a low wattage. Instead of 100 watt, you buy 40 watt. This gives you enough light. And then last not least, we do have candles. They are Bivax candles, a very nice light, romantic on top on it. And in, you know, on the end of the day, you save the cost for electricity. So I'm a big fan of having a huge amount of candle light. And actually my kids always make fun to me. At some point in the evening before dinner, I called my kids and said, please make atmosphere. And then my son Benjamin, he said, "Oh, Papa, I again have to light 50 tea lights." I say, "Yes, son, we want to have atmosphere. We want to have enjoy a nice romantic dinner together. And candlelight is one part of the ambience. And also, I know the benefits of our own health. While in a moment, we are away from this artificial light and the sun goes down, we are able to create melatonin and we lower our cortisol level, what is spike high during the daytime. And this is a natural thing. But we have to absolutely make sure this happens, but otherwise we cannot fall in sleep quick enough and we not sleep through the night." So
Klaus, I haven't even thought about candlelight. So that's really funny. I'm going to bring some candles in my bedroom, but to make sure they're not the fragrance candles with all the chemical fragrance.
Yeah, I'm not so keen about fragrance either. You know, there's some good ones out there and you have to make sure there's no petroleum-based candles and there's no chemicals in it. But, you know, you can buy some very good tea lights with hardly any exposure of petroleum. And, of course, beeswax candles are always the healthy way to go. And then, of course, you know, curtains. We have to talk also inefficient light. Say, for example, your bedroom is exposed. Let's go back one step. Your bedroom is exposed to street lighting. When we living in urban cities, we do have street light, and sometimes we have our alarm system is based with a huge light in our yard, what goes on when something is moving, and then all of a sudden you have a full day bright exposure in your bedroom. So I do have to point out a proper curtain is recommended for a good night's sleep, as should be almost a blackout room with a very small amount of light exposure somehow, when you really don't want to depend on alarm clock. And actually, there is alarm clocks on the market with light exposure. I know a German company called Philips. They have a lightning alarm clock, what gives, instead of making a horrible noise in the morning, this makes a little nice light exposure. And then in a couple of seconds, you naturally will wake up in the morning anyway, while you start already dreaming. And when you dream, your eye movement is very rapidly and very violet, and you open up your eyes, and in a moment you really get real light exposure, you up anyway. So this is a very nice way to do. But again, curtains are very important. Very often my home consultation, don't find proper curtains, full exposure. And even the moon and even our stars, when you live outside of an urban city, it's very nice to look at them. But when you really lie in bed and it's pitch dark out there, it's quite bright. I have trouble sleeping even under moonlight. It's too bright for me. I have a home in Canada on the lake where it's outside of a huge, out of Toronto, 2.5 hours north. So we have even northern lights. And on those nights, you could not sleep with this natural light exposure in the nighttime. It's too bright for me. So
it is. And I agreed. And blackout curtains are a must. And quick story that my husband and I, we recently moved into a new house and we didn't have curtains in the new house. And so we had two windows that are on either side of the, you know, either wall, and moonlight would come in one and then just the lights and would come in a big wall of windows on the other. And both of our quality of sleep being used to blackouts and really dark and noise free, that we both weren't sleeping and realized like our bodies couldn't get into the deep sleep with just some of the ambient light from the moon or the, like you said, the other, we're even a little bit out in nature and still there's lights and lights from houses and so on and so forth. And I mean, we couldn't wait to get our blackouts in. And then right when we got the blackouts, that's the only thing that had changed. We finally got back into good sleeping patterns again. But it's one of those things that I didn't even realize, you know, how much the blackouts had changed my quality of sleep until I didn't have them for about a month. And, absolutely.
And also when you have any kind of, you know, chronic disease and you're sick and you take medication, most of the medication actually is based on a darkening sleeping environment. So we do now, especially for cancer patients, the medication is much more successful when you have a totally blacked out room. And again, very forgotten part. Also, what is very disturbing in bedroom is the flooring. And I want to point this out, you know, many people have carpets in their bedrooms and a beautiful hardwood floor downstairs in the living room, kitchen area and entrance. I would do it the opposite way. Get the expensive hardwood floor up there in the bedrooms and using your carpet downstairs while, again, you spend way too much time in this bedroom. We do know carpets are contain petroleum, fire retardants, formaldehyde, and also they're heaven for house dust mites. So we want to make sure, you know, we have a flooring surface where we can benefit from. And a solid hardwood floor when possible, laminate flooring are better than carbonate, but they're still synthetic. So there might be a small amount of formaldehyde in it, but way better than carpet or any other synthetic materials. I would recommend to really get an organic hardwood floor with organic oil finish and install this in the bedroom to give you already a better sleeping environment, breathing and airflow, right? Air is very important for us too. Our air system.
Well, let's talk about that. We're approaching the end of our time together. So I want to make sure we segue into really the final piece of our conversation that's so important. I think this is the missing piece. Great. I really wanted to talk about sleep and to bring some new thinking with sleep, especially with EMFs and light and really maybe change some of our behaviors when it comes to some of the practices that we have, keeping our cell phone on, not having blackout blinds, doing our computer in bed. But beyond that, even if we may know about these different components, what we're probably not aware of, and I wasn't aware of until I met with you in Pasadena at the Bulletproof Conference, and it was like, holy shit, I never even thought about my mattress and my pillows. And you educated me, and as a result, I completely changed my bed. Immediately, I bought one of your beds because I'm so intent upon health and wellness and sleep specifically. I mean, it's equally important to the other things that we've already mentioned. But it was a lack of awareness that I was sleeping on chemicals. I was toxic exposure every night, and I almost died from toxic exposure. Yeah. So, I mean, here I am, somebody that's so concerned about this because it was part of, you know, my own illness came from toxic exposure.
Yeah.
And here I was sleeping on a toxic bed without knowing it. So can you talk about very quickly what is in most beds, even these Tempur-Pedics and these very expensive beds? We're basically inhaling a bunch of chemicals every night. Is that
so
correct?
When we look out for a mattress, there's two components to consider. First of all, a mattress has to be metal free and has to be chemical free. Doesn't matter what brand you find out there, but those are my main concerns. And when you look at it, then when you already make this main decision, metal-free and chemical-free, there will be a handful of sources out there. And then you have to make this next step to the next level and say, is this European organic or not American organic? Unfortunately, there's different standards in this world. And I'm living in the States now and I enjoy it pretty much, but I also enjoy my heritage and my European standards. While I do know I pay a little bit more or much more, but I know what I'm getting. When you buy a fancy German car, a BMW or a Mercedes-Benz, you do know what you get compared to maybe another car brand, right? So it's very important to make sure what kind of standards I want to follow myself. And you should raise the bar very high in the room where you spend a third of your life. You spend 25 years in bed when you turn 75. And the question is, we're not used to it, to spend more money for bedding or mattresses whatsoever, while no one ever educated us. So we think a $500 mattress does something good for you. Then ask you the question, how much is your health worth and how much is your sleep worth? When you really think you can have a $500 mattress and get benefits from it, I have to disappoint you. It will not happen. Even in some of the luxury brands that are out there, I do know luxury brand mattresses for $15,000, $18,000, $20,000. And when I look inside of them, I find 240 pounds of metal springs. I do have the question, or those metal springs are good for me or not. I do know they attract more electromagnetic fields, and I'm sleeping on top of antennas. And even I pay $25,000, I think this is not a proper sleeping environment. And we are all smart enough. We have a brain. You can make this decision very easily yourself. So when you buy a mattress, 100% certified organic European standard, 100% metal free. And the best thing is you find a product with four components. And the four components should be based on the layer of your human body. And our human body has a skeleton. We have joints, tissue, muscles. We have a bioelectrical system. And we do have a skin. And when we lie on a sleeping surface, we want to address all those four components. And the biggest deal is orthopedically our natural S-shape form. And I think this is where I got you so much and so quickly in the Samina bed, is lying on those wooden slats and feeling the natural S-shape support on your body, matching your body height, matching your body shape, and matching your weight. And then underneath the mattress is divided, so your spouse is having the same experience what you have, and we call this weight independent, right? Very, very important component. The second layer, I think what you liked, appreciate much, was the 3-inch rubber. What is organic rubber? Out of the rubber tree, so it's a natural product. And this is addressing our pressure points. People have a huge amount of pressure points doing sleep. And when you have a pressure point, your arm or your leg falls to sleep, you naturally wake up. And actually, with our spine, we're not in a natural S-shaped form. We pinch our nerves together under a vertebral disc, and we have 26 of them. And then our nerves send a signal to the brain, please turn me. And then 2 minutes later, please turn me again. And then 5 minutes later, please turn me again. So we find people have huge amount of turning time in sleep, generally speaking. And naturally, we only turn 70 times when you're a good night sleeper with a proper sleeping surface. Our experience show 300-500 times turning and tossing. So can you imagine you're 110 pounds, 120 females, or maybe your husband is 200 pounds. You have to turn this entire body 200, 300 times in the nighttime. You're totally exhausted in the morning. It's incredible to be even feeling refreshed. So very, very important. So the third layer, grounding. Grounding is a big deal. We address grounding. Most likely no mattress manufacturer talks about it. It's kind of a forgotten subject. They don't believe on it. They deny it. They think it's no problem whatsoever. We do know the problem. So we do have a grounding pad. What is permanently attached to the outlet of your house? What is grounded? The grounding pad contains a high contents of silver. What is a 10,000 times better conductor to electromagnetic fields and radio frequencies than the human body? We have a body voltmeter. We can measure your exposure with grounded and non-grounded, and the numbers cannot lie. The numbers are there. And last not least, you're always the best test person when you improve your sleep with grounded. Then I know grounding is working. So the measurement on the end of the day is bad from the beginning in any homes, while this is how the way we live. And when you buy a grounding pad and you sleep like a baby, I had an example again last week. A person slept 4 hours, 25 years of his life, and he purchased a grounding pad, and now he has 6.5 the first night, then 7 hours. Now he's up to 8 hours every night, sleeping only grounded. He didn't do anything else. So we do know interfering with our bioelectrical system prohibits us to sleep properly. And then last not least, wool, natural merino wool from German sheep, washed by hand, with loving care, with no exposure of chemicals during this whole process, can take human moisture away. And this is another main concern, especially in Austin. I experienced a hotel room last week in Austin what was full of mold, while the humidity is so high there. A human body sweats 0.5 liter of moisture every night, together 1 bottle of water. When you have an enclosed system, what is based on synthetic materials, what are based on petroleum and fire retardants, human moisture stays in there. We're adding moisture every night. We have a perfect nourishment for the house dust mites. They can drink your liquid, eating your skin particle, and they start pooing in your bed. So this is kind of under the sleep hygiene, not a very pleasant sleeping environment. No temperature regulating whatsoever. You always sweat too much in your bed. You're always too hot. You never have the right temperature. Each person in bed is so different, but the beauty on pure natural merino wool can control temperature on each side on the bed independent on the material and thickness of material. It's depend on your own body furnace and heat system, right? So this is something what is so, so unique in our product. So Samina is based on nature, comes from nature, no alteration to the raw material. And the owner and founder, Professor Dr. Armand Janssen, who was a psychologist 35 years ago, said to me one day, Klaus, I could talk to my patients about their mentally problems all day long. When I send them home and they don't have a proper sleeping environment, they will come back in 2 weeks and they did not figure out life either. So let me research more about sleep. So he became a sleep psychologist. And after 10 years working on this subject without having a product, you really find a four-layer system based on our ancestors, how they used materials, and he created a beautiful product what gives you the full benefits of passive life. And I have to point this out over and over again. We cannot do much more during the daytime. We're busy. We have to work. We have a family. We go exercising. We buy our food. We do our stuff. But don't go to bed and waste passive life in a sleeping sofa with no benefits.
Agreed. And so one final thing I'd like for you to touch on is, what are the flame retardants and other chemicals that are in your typical $500 to $1,000 mattress?
Yeah, we call them fire retardants. Well, you know, the laws are in countries request fire retardants for the flame resistance. When people smoke cigarettes in their bed or there is a fire from candlelight, you have at least 1 or 2 minutes time to make it out of the bed to escape from your house. And those are petroleum-based products to give you this time frame. But human nature was much smarter at some point, billions of years ago. We do know merino wool is not really burning. Merino wool is moldering and resists the flame tests naturally from the beginning. And finally, you know, after so many years with flame retardants, the law in many countries gets a little bit eased. But unfortunately, you have to, when you want to be without flame retardant, you're buying very expensive raw materials. When you do a mass product, what is the commercial bedding industry does, they're all interested on selling quantities, not quality. You still have to have a product what is petroleum-based. And anytime you put petroleum or synthetic materials in there, you have no other option to put flame retardants in there. And on the end of the day, metal springs, when you go the metal spring mattress route, or you're going the synthetic mattresses with 6, 8, 9 inches of a rubber foam, right? All those products are pretty inexpensive to make. The average cost of a conventional bed is maybe $200 max. And again, the whole idea is to give you a good sleeping surface, feel comfortable. What, you know, anytime you buy a bed mattress, you say, oh, this is better than my old one. The question is, how much long is this better? Is this lasting for 6 months, for 1 year? And maybe this lasts for 6 years. Everybody's so different. I think the hardest thing for me to communicate with people and my audience is, what is really a good night's sleep? How actually it feels a good night's sleep? Do you know what a good night's sleep is? I think people don't know. Well, they think they know it, and they think they're smarter than me, and they don't have any comparison, right? So what I'm doing now sometimes is I give beds away for 1 week for test sleeping.
I'll be your validator, if you will, is that, you know, it was one of those things when I saw the cost of your bed, I have to be honest, I choked at first. You're not used to seeing the cost of your bed ever. I'd never really seen that sort of expense. And at first, you know, my first thought was, there's no way in hell I'd ever spend that kind of money on a bed.
Yep.
But I did get in your bed and I thought, oh my gosh, this is different when I, you know, your demo there in Pasadena. And I realized it right away just by laying in it. Wow, there's something here. I looked at the science. I did a lot of research. I talked to you. You and I had several conversations back and forth as you educated me on this. And then once I really thought about this, I thought, oh my gosh, is there really any, I spend a fortune, a small fortune on quality food, because I'm very aware of that you have to have whole food, quality food, organic food if you're going to be healthy. I spend a small fortune on supplements because, you know, I do need to take a certain amount of supplementation. We all need to take some, but I have some genetic conditions that require even more supplementation than the average person. I spent a small fortune on preventive healthcare, going to, you know, doing my labs and working with functional medicine practitioners for optimal wellness. I spend money working with personal trainers. I mean, a small investment, you know, to make sure I'm healthy when it comes to exercise and the right type of exercise and the right trainers. And then here's sleep, to your point, is so important, if not, you know, it's certainly equally important, if not more important than all these other components, yet we're not spending any investment there. And that's where it was my big aha moment of, oh no, I need to invest in the quality of my sleep. Number one, I need good sleep hygiene and get rid of these things that, you know, they're keeping me from sleep despite any mattress I sleep in, but then also the mattress. And I just have to tell you that both Gary and I, we love getting into bed every night. And it's changed our whole life has changed by loving to get into bed every night. We love our Samina bed. It's so incredibly comfortable, both of us, because we have our own springs, if you will, the own its skeleton. He used to turn over and wake me up in the middle of the night, and now that doesn't happen. But I feel as though I'm getting into just a cloud almost every night, and I've never slept better, nor has Gary. And the love of getting into bed at the end of a hard day is a whole new experience. And then the temperature modulation is real, like you talk about. And it's really changed our life, like really. And I never would have thought a bed would have made that big of a difference, especially when I'm so intentional in every other part of my life. So that's why I wanted you to be on today to really to expose my listeners to, you know, what you taught me, and just to validate what you said, is that this is probably one of the best investments I've ever made. And now in hindsight, I'm like, oh my God, it's crazy to think that I almost didn't make this investment, because the return on it is enormous. And it's only been not even a year yet since we've had our bed.
And the good news is, even this having this huge investment in the beginning, on the long term, you're saving money for two reasons. You don't have to replace this mattress for quite a while. Some of the components are last forever, others for a minimum 12 years. So you're saving money with replacement costs. And in the meantime, you have this better benefits from sleep. So you will enjoy a better recharging part of the nighttime and get the benefits of passive life. What prevents you to get sick, to spend money on doctors and other stuff in the future. So we call this preventative, right? You did not wait to go to the dentist on the day when the teeth is hurting. You did something now way earlier in the age group where we become very vulnerable. When we turn 45 over, we are not young spring chickens anymore. We are more vulnerable, right? And then we abused our body in our teenage years already anyway. So there is a price to pay for it, right?
Yeah, well, we need to, I think it's just the point is we have to think of sleep as an investment, and it probably produces a bigger return. I teach money, I teach financial return, and I teach meaningful return and health return also. And I just have to tell you from my own experience, the investment I made in the Samina bed is one of the better investments I've made, and already the returns are enormous. And like you said, it's not even compounded yet. Yeah. So we're at the end of our time together. It's gone by so fast, and clearly we could talk about so much more. On each episode, I really love for my guests to talk about or bring forth a myth in your domain of expertise, what most people believe to be true, but based on your knowledge and expertise and based on the latest science or research or whatever it is, that now we know is just completely false, or something that's just conventional wisdom, you know, otherwise. So what's a myth in your, you know, domain of sleep quality and overall wellness and beds, if you will?
Now, I'm concerned about two things. When you really think the exposure of electromagnetic field and radio frequencies had no impact on your health, then you're wrong. Absolutely. I'm very worried about this for our future generation and kids to come. So we will see. I guarantee you in 10, 15 years, we will not see in Hollywood movies people using cell phones. Like we don't see in Hollywood movies anymore people smoking cigarettes. This will become. And then we know they in acknowledge this was a problem. There will be techniques coming out that might be less harmful for us. Or we have no other option. We have to go back to olden days. We use some of devices doing daytime working exposure, but we get very, very consequent with our exposure in the evening in our own homes and in our own environment. So we go back to nature. I think this is where this goes anyway. On the end of the day, we are living in cement floors, cement buildings, iron buildings. We are indoor too much. The human society will change and to become more outdoorsy and, you know, be living like our ancestor lived. We will take our shoes off and we'll walk starting walking barefoot more and stuff. So For sure, EMFs and electromagnetic fields, very important. And then when you're chipping out on your mattress, and you can buy fancy cars, you can go on vacations, you're buying shoes, purses. Mind that everybody has his habits, right? You can buy, you take your spouse to a $300 dinner. We spend all money, whatever we feel like enjoying it, right? So I know people will start enjoying sleeping one day and recognizing there is a price to pay. And even I never paid this much money for a sleeping sofa. I maybe do it now while I want to enjoy this part of my life. What is a third of your life? And we can be lazy. The only thing what I want people to go to bed, nothing else. It's the most easy task to do.
That's so right. And you even asked me, and to sum it up, you asked me when I saw you last week here in Austin, you said, now, what about sex? Are you having more sex? And yep, absolutely, because you sleep naked in this bed and one thing leads to another. So you've even improved my sex life with my husband. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. I love these stories.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. And you've been very generous. So thank you so much, Klaus.
Thank you. Thank you.
I hope you were inspired to rethink your sleep situation after hearing my interview with Klaus. If you'd like to learn more about Klaus, Samina, or sleep environment, be sure to check out the show notes at wealthywealthy.life. Before I close, I'd like to announce a special giveaway. I always love hearing your feedback. So for the entire month of August, if you leave a review on iTunes with the hashtag WealthyWealthy, I'll enter your name to win a free copy of my signature WealthyWealthy I Flag It journal. I'll announce the winner in September. Next up is another sleep expert, Dr. Kirk Parsley. This is part one of a two-part interview. The entire interview is almost 2 hours long, so I broke it up in a couple of parts because it was so good. I didn't want to cut them off too soon. So you won't want to miss this. I know most of us have sleep issues or know someone that does, and we really, really dive into sleep. So you won't want to miss it. Here's to a wealthy, wealthy life. I'll see you next time.